361, please.
Revised residential solid waste and recycling collection rates and charges effective May 1, 2018.
Colleagues, the residential solid waste rate ordinance is for garbage recycling and composting collection rates for residential customers. The proposed rate increases include an increase of $2.55 per customer per month. While it is an increase this year, the city has not raised these rates for several years. We've held them flat or lowered them over the past 5 years. The proposed increase is due primarily to higher recycling processing costs and barriers brought on by recent restrictions from international recycling importers. These unprecedented recycling market conditions are not reflected in the current rates. We do not anticipate any significant rate increases in the coming years. In fact, we anticipate a local market to emerge to meet our recycling needs. This is an emergency ordinance to allow new rates to go into effect as soon as May 1st. Susan Anderson with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability is here, obviously, to share the findings from this year's solid waste review and the proposed rates. Good morning and welcome.
Morning.
Good morning.
As the mayor said, Susan Anderson, Director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and Bruce Walker, the Recycling and Solid Waste Manager. And as the mayor said, we're here to talk about rates for residential recycling and composting and garbage. And you'll notice that I said garbage last, and that's because in Portland we recycle or compost about two-thirds of all of our waste, and only one-third goes to the landfill. And that's double what the rest of the country is doing on average. So we should be proud about that. So we're here to request a rate increase for residential service. In Portland, residential service is provided by a dozen private franchise companies. To come up with a rate, we do a very deep analysis each year. We work with an independent CPA to review each of the haulers' financial records. We look at their cost of service, labor, trucks, fuel, insurance, and so on, and then we propose rates to cover those costs. These rates are only for single-family homes, for duplexes, triplexes, and fourplex. Apartment buildings and commercial properties are served by commercial haulers, and the owners of those buildings can choose the hauling company that they want and any service level that they want, and the city doesn't set those rates. So the history on residential rates is that, as the mayor mentioned, for the past several years, rates have been basically flat and have even gone down a little bit. And even though there were increases in fuel and some labor costs and such, those cost increases were actually covered by the sale of the recycled materials. And that's been true pretty much since the beginning. Bruce can tell you because I think he was here at the beginning. And that's been true, actually, until this year. So what's changed? The primary change is that the cost of recycling has increased. China and other international markets are requiring that we do a better job of keeping the recycled materials clean, which sort of makes sense. This, in turn, though, does mean an increase in labor costs at the recycling center. So I'm going to let Bruce talk about that in just a minute. But first, if you look at the slide here, coming up.
Should be up.
There you go.
Is closed captioning working out there? Can you see it on the screen?
Yes,
it's
on.
Okay,
yep.
Thank you.
So this slide shows different service levels and the proposed rates for each. We're proposing a $2.55 increase per month for all households. More than half of the households are in the third and fourth line down at 32 or 35 gallon service. That means they get every other week garbage service and every week recycling and composting collection. The increase is from $29.25 to $31.80. The Planning and Sustainability Commission met earlier this month, and they are responsible with recommending rates to council. They held a hearing and unanimously approved the rate changes to forward on to you all. So any questions about the rates in there, in that table?
Don't we have a 20-gallon roll cart every 4 weeks?
No, not on the every 4 week.
You can have a regular size every 4 weeks, or you can have the 20 every other week.
Interesting. Thank you.
Yeah.
Do we have any sense of rates relative to other cities of similar size?
We can come back with that. It's pretty similar. They've done it over time. And I'll show you on the next slide here. You can see that the rates have been really stable for a long time. The blue line shows the actual rates for the past 5 years, and then the new rate of $31.80. And you can see, in fact, that for this year's current rate of $29.25, our rates are still below what they were 5 years ago. So a lot of that is due to the amazing recycling that our residents do. The red line there shows what rates would be if we had just done it by inflation. And that's why, to answer your question a little bit, a lot of cities just go by inflation in terms of raising rates. We've always done a much deeper dive and looked at cost of service in terms of how we set our rates. But you can see if we'd just gone along with the rate of inflation, rates would actually be higher. I guess the last thing to mention is that we're not alone in this dilemma. It's everywhere in the U.S. And locally, Gresham, Hillsborough, Washington County, Clackamas County, they're all doing the same process a little bit earlier and raising rates early. It's really important and really just fair for our haulers. Many of our haulers are small family-owned companies. They can't take this kind of rate hit for very long, and we need to move on this rather quickly. Usually we would do the rates along with water and sewer, and so water and BES, in a couple months, but we're doing it now so that we can put rates into effect May 1st.
Commissioner Fritz.
I was at the Metro Policy Advisory Committee meeting several months ago, and there was some talk at Metro about doing something locally about providing recycling. Has anything moved forward with that?
I'm going to let Bruce talk a little bit about what the potential is. You know, our hope, of course, is that the markets potentially could move back to the U.S., and a lot of markets have begun to open up in other Asian countries besides just China, is a great job generator. And so I think it is really something that we should connect with our economic development departments.
Good morning. For the record, I'm Bruce Walker, the Solid Waste and Recycling Program Manager for the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. So I'll touch on Commissioner Fritz's question as I get through some of the points, but I think it's really important to recognize that, as Susan mentioned, the excellent recycling and composting habits Portlanders have helped keep the solid waste rates low by diverting for environmental benefits of composting and recycling. We've helped reduce those costs over time, and as the mayor mentioned, our rates have been flat or steady for some decreases are steady over the past several years. Historically, the revenue from the sale of recyclables related or helped offset increases for the other rate components, but due to the market conditions we've mentioned, it's put some substantial newer costs into our system. About $2 of the $2.55 proposed rate increase is directly related to recycling market conditions. As a reminder, recyclable materials are a commodity used by manufacturers throughout the world. When recyclables are used to make new products, it reduces the use of natural resources and saves energy and water in the manufacturing process. While many Oregon and Pacific Northwest manufacturers use recyclable materials, some unsorted paper and plastics have primarily been exported to China for manufacturing there. China has recently adopted broad environmental and economic policies aimed at reducing environmental impacts. As part of these measures, China notified recycling companies around the world that they will be only importing recyclable materials that meet unexpectedly high quality standards. These new higher standards require recycling facilities to slow their sorting lines and hire more people to to further sort the materials. These steps have significantly increased facility operating costs. And we've come together, recyclers, haulers, the State Department of Environmental Quality, Metro, there's an active group working on these issues. We, as Susan mentioned, we've included the State Economic Development Business Oregon in these discussions because it's international commerce that we're working with, and we're feeling the brunt of it. Not just us, but throughout the country, throughout Europe, the impacts of these market conditions have affected company recycling operations. Beginning last fall, the fees that the local garbage and recycling companies had to pay to drop off their recycling at sorting facilities reach record high levels. These high costs are not covered in the current rates. There are some other factors that are putting upward pressure on the rates. Inflation has increased labor and fuel prices, and disposal fees levied by Metro on garbage disposed at transfer stations has also increased. But the primary issue that's forcing this rate increase is the recycling conditions.
Could I ask you just sort of two broad questions that have been on my mind? The first is, what accommodations, if any, do we make for low-income customers? And the second is really, maybe it's a geopolitical question. I really didn't understand until a year and a half ago, how dependent the entire recycling market in the United States was on China as the insourcer of all of this material. Is there a long-term industry strategy? I assume China will grow, but the industry is really heavily dependent on one nation and their development curve. And I'm wondering, is there any discussion about creating more recycling processing facilities domestically? What's the dynamic of the market on the whole, and what's, say, the 10-year outlook? What are people saying?
If we had gone back in time 10 or 15 years ago, we would have never thought it would have been China. We were doing all the paper recycling here. We had, you know, a lot of the paper recycling facilities actually were in the Northwest. And it's just a matter of, you know, labor costs and things have shifted over time. But I think the pendulum's going to swing back a little bit in terms of there is still so much supply of recycled materials that there will be companies that are going to show up nationally and internationally to fill in this market.
Okay.
So I think it's, you know, it's sort of at this point they were kind of in charge because they are the ones with the facilities that, you know, and to get that kind of investment back in it. But I do think it's something, and we're really thrilled to be seeing Business Oregon actually look at this as a potential for job growth.
Interesting. Okay, thank you. And then with regard to lower income folks?
Before I get to that, just one other add-on is not all material goes to China. There's glass, for example, that we keep separate in our program. It's collected from households. That goes out to the Owens, Illinois plant right by the airport. There's cardboard. There are three mills, two in Oregon, one in Washington. So there's many materials still get recycled here, but there's substantial quantities that have been exported that need to look for additional markets. And that's where the opportunity, the market dynamic that you mentioned, seems to be opening up. And there's tremendous interest in this, but it doesn't happen overnight with the substantial investment.
Sure. Thanks, Bruce.
Now, to your question about low income, our program requires that in any rental unit, the landlord pays the bill. So that's our mechanism to assure that service is delivered and that the tenant is not charged directly. Now, that I'm not trying to sidestep and say, well, of course, a rate increase would be passed along to tenants, but our mechanism is to provide that the owner of the property be the one who charges or pays those bills.
But we haven't done a low-income rate.
That's why I asked, where are we compared to some of our national comparators? And I'd just be curious to get that information.
Sure, we can pull that for you.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
So were you through with your presentation?
Yeah, I think the only thing last to say is that if I were to be here next year, I'm hoping next year that we can come back and show rates go back down a little bit, because I do think that as the markets change, and it's the beauty of how we do our rates, is we're not just going by inflation. We're actually digging in and looking at the cost of service, and I think that makes a difference.
So the issue is that our exports to China, our paper and plastics are contaminated, right? By standards, quality standards. We don't meet specs. So, what is it that I just thought you could educate us? What is it that contaminates our paper products and our plastic recycling, our plastics?
So, that's an excellent question. So, one of the things is leave out the takeout. Don't put any takeout containers, the clamshells, the plastic clamshell takeout containers, plastic cups, paper cups, coffee cups, anything like that should not go in the cart. So we intend to do some intensive re-education, additional work to notify customers. That's one step that they can take to help address some of the concerns that would minimize the sorting required for these materials. But just to be perfectly clear, that alone won't address the rate issue today, because it's really an oversupply issue with the world's largest consumer, China, stopping to take those materials has created oversupply, which prices have plummeted. But you're absolutely right. To remove and put the right things in the cart makes a difference, and it's still valuable. We still encourage people to recycle.
And then you said that sorting facilities now are hiring more people to get at this, get some of these things out of the recycling pipeline. Are they then allowed now to, if they do that, hire the extra people, put in the extra time to sort the recyclables? Is that now going to China, or is it going somewhere else?
Again, an excellent question. There's very limited amounts of material going into China right now. That's my understanding. We, of course, don't broker or send any of the materials ourselves as the city. But talking directly with private facilities, reading the information shared on what gets exported, it's sent to other mills in the U.S. where possible, as well as some other countries, are increasing their take on materials.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Fritz.
I might just add to that. I was given a tour of one of our local recycling sorting facilities by the haulers several years ago. It was astonishing to me the things that people were putting in the recycling. Diapers was the one that was the most astonishing. Just because it's got plastic on it doesn't mean you can put it in the recycling. And the other thing that I learned was that putting the plastic bags in the recycling gums up the machine and can cause a lot of damage. So, I think if, as you just pointed out, education is something. Something I've recently discovered is Metro's got an amazing hotline and email service that if you have a question about should I recycle this, they will get back to you very, very quickly with a yes or no, and then what to do with it if you can't recycle it. So I just wanted to let people know that you can call or ask Metro or email Metro, and they'll let you know.
We tend to call it wishful recycling, because people are like, we really want it. They don't want to have anything in the garbage, and we get that. But when you're putting the wrong stuff in, it ends up wrecking the whole system. So.
Well, and we, the thing, the takeout cups that are not recyclable, either in paper or in plastic. And sometimes they say they are. They say they're compostable, but they're not in the low-temperature compost, right?
Right. So I think what you're going to see from us is we've gotten not quite as far as we can. We can do more food composting. We can do more on construction and demolition debris. But at some point, what we really need to do is go back upstream and say, don't buy that stuff in the first place.
Don't make that stuff in the first place.
Yeah, don't package.
Well, and if there's no demand, then, you know, so I think that's where our education is going to begin to shift, along with a lot of nonprofits in the city. So thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a public testimony on this item, Carla?
Yes. We have four people signed up.
Very good.
The first three, please, coming up are Terry Parker, Beth Vargas Duncan, and Annette Pronk.
Good morning and welcome.
Morning.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Terry.
Go ahead, Terry.
Good morning. My name's Terry Parker. I'm a fourth-generation Portlander. Property taxes, bond measures, utility rate hikes such as for electricity, water, and sewer, and yes, garbage rates, all have an impact on the costs of housing. A couple of dollars here, a few more dollars there may be just the threshold that forces a senior citizen on a fixed income out of their longtime home. Given your declaration of a housing emergency, it is disingenuous to increase any tax or fee you have control over. It is unfair to landlords to require relocation expenses for renters if any part of a rent increase is due to escalating a city-controlled tax or fee. On your handout, which I don't think she's given you yet, is an image of a receipt with a postmark date of May 1980 for garbage service for the preceding months of March and April. The total billing amount is $6, $3 per month. This bill is for the same house I live in today. Jimmy Schlager Garbage Service was a small business with a modest-sized truck. Jimmy, the owner, lived in the neighborhood. Unlike current corporate operations where huge trucks pound the streets up one side and down the other, making as many as 8 passes on garbage day to pick up from the various containers, Jimmy would stop his truck in the middle of the street, carry a big can up the driveway, dump the garbage from the customer's can into his, and then return to the garbage to dump the garbage in the truck. A helper would do the same on the other side of the street. This was a time when service was first and foremost, as opposed to the city deciding which corporate entity will have a monopoly. I have been clashing with waste management for over a year. During the winter of 2016-2017, waste management did not provide pickup service for 3 straight weeks due to poor weather conditions. I live on a flat street. Without studded tires or chains, I was out and about numerous times during that 3-week period. This big faceless corporate entity doesn't supply the service. If this big faceless corporate entity doesn't supply the service for any length of time, they should be automatically adjusting customer invoices. I have not and will not pay for a service not received. I believe a cap has been placed on the profits of electric utilities. The same should apply to corporate garbage service. Just say no to this rate increase. Also require companies to not bill for service not received. If the big companies don't like it, then maybe Portland should go back to a small business model for residential garbage collection. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler, members of the council. I'm Beth Vargas Duncan with Oregon Refuse and Recycling Association. And in that capacity, I am here today representing the Portland Haulers Association, which has 11 different members, and several of them are small family-owned entities. Every hauler providing residential service in Portland is a member of the Portland Haulers Association. Portland members work cooperatively with the city's Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staff, and we've exchanged, as you've heard, quite a lot of information to get to where we are today for this rate review. I want to thank the city staff and other members that have helped us get here today in April, a bit early, as staff indicated. It will be very helpful to the haulers, especially the small family-owned individual haulers, that these kinds of challenges pose greater cash flow issues for them. So as you've already heard, what is happening and why are costs increasing? Specifically, it's the tightening of China's policies, limiting contamination to 0.5% for recycling materials. It's created a systematic impact in the market. Materials that had been once collected curbside, delivered to processors to sort, and then exported to the international markets, largely China, are either no longer accepted or the cost of accepting them has increased significantly. I am aware of at least one processor that has admitted that they are not really looking at China as a potential market. They are having to find new markets. So as a result, processors have had to add staff, slow sorting processes, store materials, and search for new markets for these recycled materials. Each of these activities add cost to the processing of recycling materials, and these costs have escalated dramatically and quickly. Over the past 6 months, the cost for haulers to drop off recycling materials for processing has increased about fourfold to record levels. At the current rate, it's more cost-effective, frankly, to landfill these recycled materials than to have them processed. But the Portland haulers do not want to choose this option, if at all possible. So who's tackling this issue? We've had continuous collaboration over the last 6 months, when we first started seeing this crisis, among processors, haulers, local governments, the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, and other stakeholders, all working to identify methods to keep costs down, maximize the recycling of our materials, and avoid landfilling to both in the short and the long term. So what now? This expedited rate review process and rate adjustment will help the haulers successfully manage these costs and the unprecedented challenges presented and continue to fulfill their recycling services to Portland residential customers. We've been proud to partner with the city.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate
if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Very good. Thank you. And we have your written testimony as well.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name is Annette Pronk. I am a resident in the Cully neighborhood, and I am a lifelong recycler. I have three things that I'd like to share with you today. First, protecting the environment is incredibly important to me. I want Portlanders to leave our kids and our grandkids with a healthier and cleaner planet. Recycling is one thing that we can all do to help reduce our environmental footprint. Second, I know from many conversations at community events in the capacity as a master recycler and with my neighbors that people in Portland are great recyclers. They understand that recycling keeps manufacturers from having to take more resources out of the environment through mining, drilling, and logging. We all know that we have to find better ways to reduce, reuse, and of course recycle. And lastly, I pay for garbage and recycling collection like everyone else in town. I understand that any cost increase will put a strain on a budget, but I also know that this is a cost many families like mine that we are willing to pay to allow us to keep recycling and doing our part for a better future. Thank you for this opportunity to comment.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. We appreciate it.
And the last person is Andre Baugh.
Good morning, sir.
Morning. Andre Baugh, Portland Planning Sustainability Commissioner. I'm fully supportive of what you have before for you. What I'm here today to ask you to join us, the Planning Sustainability Commission, in requesting a policy scan of the best practices in eliminating, reducing, and recycling and education of plastic waste, and come back to the PSC and to you with options by October of this year. We are a leader in sustainability, and we need to be out leading and finding options that eliminate and do things it's our responsibility to control costs. And by coming back with options to our customers, we should be saying, here's how we can do that. And part of that, I would ask that we look at an option to explore is to prohibit the use of disposable plastic serviceware by requiring food service businesses to transition to disposable plastic serviceware from durable and or recyclable alternatives by 2020. This is commonly known as the straw initiative, getting rid of plastic straws. It's not new. It's not innovative. There's other cities that have already done it. But it's telling our customers, we're out there leading. We're looking at alternatives to control your costs in the future. The other thing I would ask is that you call for a long-term study, and Metro actually has money, and maybe we put a little money toward that too, to look at how, as we recycle, as Business Oregon looks at things, how do we actually eliminate and the use of plastic? Because if we don't have to recycle it in the first place, we would actually save money, and that's kind of the old technology of total quality. Don't remanufacture it, just don't produce it in the first place. And so I would ask you to join us in doing that. I think it's in the best interest of our citizens' health and safety and really economy from that standpoint. Thank you.
So I am very eager to do that with you. I actually have an individual in my office, and I'll put him in contact with you today because we are working on just that initiative, and I'd like to partner with you to do it.
Great.
Thank you. It's past due, and you're right. Other municipalities have done it. And interestingly, the private sector is also leading in this regard.
Yes.
And so let's do it.
Great.
So you have my commitment to working with you, and we'll make sure that Kyle gets in touch with you.
Great. Thank you, sir. Thank you,
Mayor. We appreciate your being here and your service on the commission.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Creativity Watchdog. China, 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 China. I'm impressed, China. And I agree with you 100% on having the requirements that you're trying to do right now and make sure that people follow those requirements. Here's my position to you, though, China. I want to have everything recycled in USA. I want to completely cut off any and all business with China. I want to have the mills built back in USA. I want to have the jobs back in USA pertaining to recycling. So again, to you, China, I want to cut off all business with you in China. And the reality is this. The Trump administration is negotiating with you right now on all trade agreements, and I'm sure on this recycling aspect also. So again, to China, if you want to have these rates brought back down for the USA, you need to drop those requirements a little bit. You need to go back to where you were. If you looked on the charts, there were no rate increases for about 4 years. Then it spiked up in the last 6 months to a year. So we know, again, it's you, China. Do you want to work with the USA, such as you're going to do on the other trade agreements? Do you want to be more reasonable right now? Or again to you, China, China, we're going to bring the mills back to USA, the jobs back to USA. And do we need to continue this type of relationship with you, China? I don't know if we really need to. My biggest concern right now that I did hear is to start using the landfills again. I'd like to have that looked at very close, exactly what that meant. And I also heard a comment, too, is that maybe our rates will drop back down again. As you in the public know, our rates will not drop back down again. When they set those rates, they're going to continue to stay there, even if China becomes more reasonable. So again to you, China, our rates are going up. I want to continue to work with China, but do we have to? Do we need to? Do we want to just break off that relationship? Or do you want to be fair at this time, such as you're going to do on trade agreements with President Trump, which I'm going to give him credit on all these trade agreements that are currently being negotiated with China? He's going to take credit for all that. And will you, President Trump, begin to bring these rates back down to a reasonable level for the recyclables and not have to increase the rates? And as you know, China has the ability to put a lot of these people out of business if they want to. Bring the mills back to USA. USA recyclables, jobs here back in USA. Thank you again, China. Have a great day.
Thank you. Mr. Walsh.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. One of the things that I would point out, Mayor, is that when you're physically here at the council meeting, that's different than watching on television because you see or hear something you want to respond to. And one of the things that I notice in your agenda is you don't say you're going to raise the rates. You say you're going to revise them. Revise them is that kind of a nice word so nobody gets upset. You're going to raise the rates. and you're going to raise the rates on other things, and you're going to cut. I understand we're going to lose some parks. In my Brooklyn accent, we're going to lose some parks. So you're going to raise the rates on other things and this, but you don't tell the people that you're going to do that. You use the word revise, which can mean either way. You could go down. You could say rates are too high. Got to go down. You know, I just got my electric bill last month, and I realized that this is not city, but I'm telling you what's happening out there to the people that are living in apartments and houses. My electric bill last month for a one-bedroom apartment was $140. And Patty and I really try to cut off the lights. I have to have the oxygen machine running. Takes a lot of electrical to do that. However, a one-bedroom apartment is $140. Every dollar, and you heard that today, and you're going to do what you want. But let me warn you. Let me give you, what is it called? Well, look at your future. How about that? Especially you, there, Commissioner Fish, running for re-election. If you keep raising rates and you keep raising taxes, I would be amazed if 2 years from now I don't look at five new faces. Because you're already alienated to the radicals in the city, and now you're beginning, Mayor, with your cuts and your raising of the taxes and the raising of the rates to alienate everybody.
Somebody's got to balance the budget, Mr. Walsh. That's my job. It's not popular, but that's
then
my job.
Then don't hire 100 cops for $10 million. How about that one?
Who's planning to hire 100 cops for $10 million?
Well, aren't you asking the city to come in and support
you?
No, you
have not seen my budget, Mr. Walsh. I have not released my budget yet. You have not seen my... I'm telling you the facts.
Do not argue with me. I still got 3 seconds.
Take it.
I'm just warning you.
That sounds like a threat, Mr. Walsh. Next item, or excuse me, this is an emergency ordinance. Please call
Carl, is there anyone else who signed up to testify?
That was it.
That was it. Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, a rate increase is never something that people get excited about. But I do think that I want to commend the Portland haulers. I think they do. They have tough jobs, and they do a great job at picking up our garbage and picking up our recyclables. So I want to commend them. And I also want to commend Bruce Walker and Susan Anderson for their lifelong dedication to recycling and making sure that Portland remains a leader. You know, Portland is not known as a committee, as a city that's very religious in terms of supporting for organized religion. But I do believe there is one thing that Portlanders are religious about, and that is recycling. And I think most people that I have encountered want to see us, and I'm very proud that Portland is not reducing the number of materials to be accepted for recycling, which a lot of other cities are doing now in response to this. We are keeping our recycling bins open for all the things we can currently recycle, and there's a lot of things we can recycle, and I believe that is what Portlanders support. And I do hope that we do find more local markets, that we can use our own people to be sorting these recyclables, and also that our own businesses, manufacturers, will start figuring out ways to use recyclable materials. And, of course, we need to be upstream and figure out how to reduce the amount of recyclables and solid waste in the first place. But I do, I'm going to support this, and I want to thank everybody who's worked on this issue. Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for your pioneering work on this, starting with the Office of Sustainable Development. Thank you, Susan Anderson, for all your work, and Bruce Walker as well. I know this is going to be Susan's last presentation as the Director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability on this particular topic, and so thank you for all of your work on it. We've really come a long way in the can't do the math this early in the morning, but since 86 when I moved here, it's really a sea change in what people do, both in their purchasing and in their disposal habits. I would be interesting to look back over the ordinances over the past 10 years and see how many said, I think would imagine they all said revise the rates, even though we did cut rates in several years and we kept them steady in several years as well. So this is a modest increase after a significant event that prevented us from continuing to reduce rates by more participation and more organization in what we do. But it really is on every single one of us, and I think that's the next level is we've all now, at least I hope we're all remembering to take our shopping bags into the grocery stores. I see fewer people like me going back to my car to get mine because we're doing it routinely. I think we all start thinking about, can I take my own reusable containers so that when I have leftovers, when I'm eating out, I can bring them home. When I'm going to get takeout, take the container as well. And so there's a lot of things that we can do, and it, I think, gets to be kind of interesting to see how low you can go. Mr. Walsh, I would just also, in addition to my tip on calling Metro, I recently contacted PGE to ask them why my electrical bill was about the same, even though my daughter has now left, and it's just me. And they gave me some really good information about why that might be and what I could do to reduce my electrical bill. So there are people, there are experts out there who are ready to help on situations like this, and I just encourage us all to write that email, fill out that contact form, and get more educated. Thank you very much for all of your work. Aye.
Wheeler.
So you know I'm an enthusiastic supporter of this work. Commissioner, Director, Bruce, thank you for your leadership on this. I had the opportunity recently to go to the southern part of our country to talk to a conference of people who are really interested in what Portland was doing around sustainability. And they were interested in the culture of sustainability, and they were interested in the tactics of sustainability. And they were holding Portland up as the model of how to do it right. And they were particularly interested in this issue of diverting the solid waste stream and addressing public resistance to these kinds of programs. And basically the question wasn't, you know, how many trucks do you need or how many processing centers do you need or what kind of contracts do you sign? The question was, how do we bring the public along and encourage their support? And I was really surprised, being that this conference took place in Little Rock, that they don't have a bottle bill. And one of the first questions that was asked was, how could we get a bottle bill down here? And I was so surprised by the question, I'm not sure I really gave them a particularly good answer, but it showed me that in many cases, we're not years ahead, we're decades ahead in terms of the work that we've done. Nobody likes the rate increase, and I think all of us up here get that. And I hope that the line of questioning you heard me ask around what about people who are lower income, what does this mean about market conditions generally in the years ahead, what kind of commitments can we make to young people sitting here in the audience about the future, that's part of leadership too, is trying to anticipate as best as we can with imperfect information what the future looks like. And I believe that this council and prior councils have always taken the position that we need to be as aggressive as we can in protecting the planet and protecting our environment, and I applaud this. I'm sorry we have to raise the rates for the first time in several years. The good news is we didn't raise it for several years. The good news is we're not anticipating raising them for several years. And I believe the commission, when they say that they looked at this really, really hard to make sure that they were being as cost-effective as possible for the fee-paying public. So I'm starting with the assumption that people are coming to the table mindfully, and they're coming to the table respectfully, and they're coming to the table trying to do what is in the best interest of this community. So I certainly vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thank you for your fantastic work on this.